elephant, and it's a pretty popular game that's played around Christmas time. I'm going to explain how the game goes in a second, but I looked up what does white elephant, where does the term white elephant, somebody says, oh, that's a white elephant. It actually came, and you guys know I like history, it came from a long time ago. The king of Siam, which is now Thailand, whenever people in his court, he got upset with them, whenever they did something to make him upset, he would literally give them an albino elephant as a gift. And if you tried to return the gift, you would die, he would kill you, because you can't give back a gift that the king has given you. And you may ask, why would he give a white elephant? And it's because he wanted you to know that you displeased him. Because the white elephant ate all the food. So if you were poor, you'd go broke trying to keep this elephant alive, because you had to do that. The elephant would often override people's tents. And so nobody wanted the white elephant. It was a gift that when you got it, it's like, I don't want this. And it was really, really, really hard to get rid of. It didn't come in any way that anybody wanted. And so the way the game goes is like this. Everybody brings a gift, and you put it in a pile, no names on there. And then everybody gets a number. And you, when your number comes up, you either pick a gift from the pile and you unwrap it, or you steal somebody's gifts who was unwrapped before. And the game is pretty fun as it goes around, and you know, you see some incredible gifts. Last night, we had 50 people over a Refresh Youth Ugly Sweater party. 50 people. And they played White Elephant. And one of the gifts, it was a brick, literally a brick, with somebody's picture on it and a bottle of Aunt Jemima's syrup. I can't figure out what in life would somebody want to even think about giving that. And secondly, about what a person who got it. But usually when you get one of these white elephant gifts, you go through a series of different optional emotions. Option number one is, I really like this. I really like this. And option number two is, this is the ugliest thing that I've ever seen. It looks like this jacket. It's like, what am I going to do with this? This is not something that I wanted. And you're just dying hoping somebody will want that gift that you got. And oftentimes, nobody wants that gift. Nobody wants that gift. And the third option that you go into, you sometimes end up is that you get a gift and you think it's something, and sometimes you think it's something bad, and it turns out to be something that's really, really, really good. You also have the other option. You think it's something really good, it turns out to be something bad. But the reaction on your face, like yesterday in the white elephant game that they played, one of the gifts was this big box. And in the box was a little box, and in the box, a little box, a little box. We thought it was empty. We thought it was a box of boxes. And it turned out to be this really, 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 really cool gold leaf card set. It was so cool that I wish I would have gotten one of those gifts myself. But I tell you this because when Jesus came on the scene 2017 years ago, he was somewhat of a white elephant to a lot of people. He was somewhat of a white elephant to a lot of people, and in order for you to understand what I mean when I say that, I need to take you back to the story. And this series that we're doing, we call it Christmas Stories, because we literally have been telling Christmas stories. And today I'm going to tell you the story that you know so well. It's a story of Mary and Joseph. But I'm going to tell it to you from the perspective of somebody who didn't know the end of the story. You see, we in the 20th century, we 21st century, we know the end of the story. So we think it's all cool. But when you're playing out in real time, this is what the story would have gone something like. It's story time. So sit back, relax, drink some hot chocolate mentally as you listen to the story. The story is told by Matthew. Matthew was a person who knew Mary well. He was one of the disciples, and we know from the crucifixion story that Mary was with the disciples. So we knew Mary well. And inadvertently, people would have asked her 1,000 times, hey, Mary, can you tell us a story about Jesus again? And you know when you tell the same story over and over again, you just like want to rush through it. And he's like, you just have it down pat. And my guess is that Matthew was just tired of hearing the story. He's like, let me just write it down so when people ask, what's the story? I can just like, hey, read. It turns up in Matthew 1, and you can see why I say that when you look in Matthew 1, because it says this here. Hey, everybody, if you want to know how the story of Jesus' birth came about, this is how the story of Jesus' birth came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, and before they came together, even before they consummated the marriage, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting there is that Matthew just bypasses it. He's like, all right, she was pregnant and full of the Holy Spirit. And he just moves on from there. He doesn't tell you anything about what happened. Matthew spends his time, when you read Matthew 1, he spends his time talking about Joseph. He just has like one or two verses talking about Mary. He's like, yeah, because Mary would have told the story over and over again. Everybody would have heard Mary's perspective. Matthew was really interested in telling you Joseph's perspective. But Luke tells you Mary's perspective. And Luke tells you in Luke chapter 1 what happened. And Luke says that Mary was kind of going one day, and this angel, and we believe that he was in a physical form of a man. So like somebody comes up to her and says, hey, Mary, guess what? This is like, his brother said, how do you even know my name? And he's like, don't worry about that, but you are highly favored. And she was like, what? And then he goes on, and he would have gone on to say, that you're going to have a baby. And this baby is going to be Son of God. And Mary was understandably confused and disturbed because she tried to think about what the angel could mean. I tell you, it's like this. Imagine you're going Christmas shopping. You're walking in a mall. And somebody, a stranger, comes up to you and stops you and calls your name and says, hey, Shakira. Hey, I just want to tell you that God loves you and you're highly favored. And she goes, and then he says, and he loves you so much that you're going to get pregnant. And that pregnancy is going to come from God. And you're not going to be with a man and you're going to have a baby. First of all, I can't get pregnant. But if an angel told me that, I'd think he's out of his mind. I'm sure if an angel told Shakira that, everything like, I was like, what are you talking about? This is out of her mind. And Mary would have said this. She's so confused. She's like, but how can it be? How can this happen? I'm a virgin. And it's interesting that, you know, that she said that because she would have like, it's a perfectly logical question. How can I be? And I can imagine what you've gone through in mind. Well, if he's telling the truth and if I'm pregnant, how am I going to tell people about this? How am I going to tell my parents? Hey, mom and dad, guess what? An angel told me I'm going to get pregnant, and you see, I'm pregnant. And it came from an angel. And nobody would have believed that. They would have thought she done lost her cotton picking mind, even if she didn't pick cotton. She'd probably think, oh no, what am I going to tell Joseph? Because that's what any rational woman would be thinking. What am I going to tell my fiance? And so the angel tells her some other things that's going to happen about her cousin that she can go see and all this. And the angel convinces her that there is truth to it. But I can bet you right at that moment, like any other person, and you can read through Luke's story that Mary overjoyment didn't really come until a little bit later on, because right then and there she had to be thinking, what am I going to tell Joseph? We fast forward back to, you know, Mary said, by the way, she agreed, she goes, I'm the Lord's servant, and everything you said about me come true. And that took tremendous faith on Mary's part, because I don't know if it were you, if you would think that that's a really phenomenal gift right there at that moment. You know now it's a great gift because you know the end of the story, but right there in that moment, it's like, I'm going to be pregnant. And so what happens next is really comes back to Matthew's account of Joseph. Because Matthew just breezes through one verse on Mary. He's like, yeah, you heard Mary's story before. I'm going to tell you about Joseph. Joseph, he was a faithful to the law. Joseph was a good man. And Joseph didn't want her to expose her to public disgrace. So he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. So let's play this out. you're engaged to this woman. And she walks in and she says, hey, babe, I got something to tell you. And she says, hey, you know, I was walking in the mall, right? And this man came up to me. He told me his name was Gabriel, right? And he told me that I'm highly favored by God. And I'm going to get pregnant from God. And actually, I'm pregnant now. And I haven't been with a man, Joseph. You're the only man. Joseph didn't buy that story. Because if he bought that story, this verse wouldn't have been here. He's like, you're crazy. But, I don't want to make you a public, but I don't want the gift of another man's baby. I don't want that white elephant gift of another man's baby. And when I was growing up, there was a term that they used. They call it jacket. I don't want to be wearing somebody else's jacket. So Joseph says, I don't want people to think that I was dipping in the pool before it was time to go swimming. And Joseph decided to put her away. And you know it couldn't be quietly because everybody knew they were going to get married. And when they weren't going to get married and her belly got fat, he's going to say, hey man, all I can tell you wasn't me. He was named Shaggy. And so, but after he considered this, so he's like kind of thinking about this. He's like, what am I going to do? He's thinking about this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived of her is from the Holy Spirit. And she'll give birth to a son, and she'd give him the name Jesus. And I want to pause there because when Joseph is, imagine again, you're Joseph and you go to sleep. And Mary's telling you all this, and you're like thinking about this, and like, all right, I think I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get divorced. And when you're engaged back then, it was like you're married, right? It was already a contract, a marriage contract. It was just all that was left was the date. And so Mary would have told him what the angel said, that he's going to name Jesus. And Joe's like, whatever, man. And then when the angel, when he's sleeping and he dreams that he's having a conversation with an angel, he's telling him everything that Mary said. And I remember Joe's like, all right, I get this, all right, maybe you can work with this. And you should call his name Jesus. Joseph at this time would have been like, yeah, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And his name is Jesus. And that Jesus comes from the original language. It's a Latin translation of a Greek word, which is a translation of a Hebrew word, which has no J in there. It was Yeshua, which translated to Joshua. And Joshua means mighty warrior. And the people would have known from the past that Joshua was a mighty warrior. He was a general. Joshua was so bad that when Joshua came into town, everybody like quaked. One time he and his group walk around a city and they just yelled at the wall. And the wall came tumbling down. That was Joshua. And the same name Joshua is Jesus translated in our English Bible. From the Latin. And he says, you're going to call Jesus? And he's like, yeah, all right, I'm into this. Yeah, all right, I'll take this gift. And then he goes, because he shall save his people. It was like, yes, finally, somebody's going to save our people from there. And then he heard the word sins. And he's like, sins? We need somebody to save us from Rome. Rome are oppressors. We already got a solution for sin. We got the temple right up there. We can go. We kill a goat. We kill a lamb. And all of a sudden, we're good again. We're good again. We're back where we were before. We don't need salvation from our sins. We need salvation from Rome. That's really where the problem is. Angel, you don't seem to get what we really need. We don't need that. That's what we want. And Joseph woke up, however, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. Because he's like, all right, it matches up. But he didn't consummate their marriage until he gave birth to a son. Again, I pause there and explain something to you right there. See, when somebody comes up to you and tells you that God said this to me about you, God always confirms it with somebody else. If somebody walks up to you and says, God told me that you're going to be my wife. If God don't tell you that, don't get married. That's just brata. That's extra. That wasn't even in the sermon. She gave birth to a son. I tell you this story because when Jesus came on the scene, for a lot of people, he was a white elephant. He was not what they expected. They expected a Joshua, a Yeshua. They expected a warrior, somebody who was going to come in. And by the way, they didn't even, you know, the kind of the whole virgin birth thing, they didn't even expect it to truly be a virgin birth, because if you go back to the original language in Isaiah 7, the word that's used there for virgin was just a young lady of marrying age. So when Mary says, how can it be? I'm a virgin. She's like thinking, because everybody knows that only pagan religions does God have sex with humans. That's why you get Hercules, because his father was Zeus. And it was a kind of pagan thing to happen. And nobody was expecting this. Jesus did not come in the way that people expected him to come. Not only was he not expected, there was a whole bunch of people who didn't even want him. We read last week that Herod didn't want him. Herod's like, I don't want this dude. I'm the only king. I'm the king. I don't need any other king. The Jewish leaders, you can read it also in the earlier part of Matthew 1. The Jewish leaders that Herod called in, they didn't want him also. Jesus was a white elephant to many people. And they wanted a Messiah, but not this one. They wanted a Savior, but not this one. The package was not what they wanted. Not him. Because what good is a Messiah that can't go to war or won't go to war? What good is a Messiah that won't take care of Rome, take care of my needs, because I already got a solution for my sins? It requires me to do some stuff, pay penance, go make a sacrifice. And you know, I was thinking about this. That's where many of us sit today. Many of us sit today in that same place that says the package of Jesus is not what I want. Jesus is not fulfilling any felt need I have. I need somebody. I need a sugar daddy. I need somebody who's going to pay my bills. Jesus ain't paying my bills. And it's a gift that's being handed to you. Jesus, God has handed a gift of Jesus to you. But it's just not right. The package is not right. It's not something that some of us want. We're like, nah. And so you think, what good is a Jesus when I lost my job? What good is a Jesus? What good is a God when I prayed for my baby to be saved and my baby died? I prayed for wellness and I got sickness. What good is this God? What good is a God that allows evil to come into the world? What good? And I could go on and on and on and on. But for many of us here today, this gift of Jesus is not what we want. And I know that because we know what happens on Christmas and Easter. It's a nice thing to do. It's a nice gift for somebody else. It's like when somebody opens up a gift for a white elephant and you're like, ooh, that's really nice. And you're like, you want to steal it? Nah, that's yours. And for many of us, this whole Christmas and Easter thing is because we really, if we're truly, truly honest and think about it, we're like, Jesus is not what I want, because if I really wanted him, I would have him. Because he's not fulfilling, the need of him doesn't fulfill a felt need. There's no felt need there that I need to fulfill. And just like how Mary was confused, and just like how Joseph wanted to distance himself from Mary and Jesus before the angel spoke to him, because he was not what they expected initially, That's where many of us are sit today. But this Christmas 2017, God wants to do something in your life just like he did in the life of Mary and Joseph. God wants you to see that the gift that he's offering you is clearly the best gift you could ever have. It's worth everything and so much more despite your unanswered questions. And God is like, look, I'm offering you this gift that it's going to be a life-changing thing. And he's offered it to me and I accepted it. And I know what I was before and I know what I am now. And I'm telling you that better is better. And God is saying, hey, what you offered to Pastor Gary, he's offering it to you. And he's like, you too can have the best gift that ever that costs so much. And he's like, this gift is so much, it's life after that, but it's so much more than life after that. You see, a lot of people think that Jesus, you know, offers you a get out of hell free card. And so, you know, I'm going to wait till the last moment. You know, when I was younger, I was talking to a guy once, and he's like, you know, I'm going to wait till I'm on my deathbed and accept it so I can get out of hell free. And people like think, I got time, I can wait because I am young. I'm not going to die anytime soon. By the way, most people live to 80 years old, so I'm going to probably live to 80, and I'm better than average, so I'm going to live longer than that. So I'll come to Jesus. I'll kind of get serious about this Jesus thing to get out of hell free card. And God is saying, the gift that I'm offering you is so much more than a get out of hell free card. It's that too, and then some. Because God says, my gift of my son Jesus offers you a full and satisfying life, but not just a full and satisfying life, but a fully satisfying life. And God says, look, you haven't even begun to experience life until you experience life with me, life in a relationship with me. He's like, but not only that, it's like a Ginzu knife. And not only that, God's gift of Jesus offers you love. He's offering you a life of love, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of patience, a life of kindness, a life of goodness, a life of faithfulness, a life of gentleness, and a life of self-control. And can you imagine what your life would look like if that was characteristic of your life? Can you imagine what your marriage would look like if your husband was saying, my wife is so full of love, joy, and peace. Man, I can't just wait to get home because she's so patient. Even when I leave stuff around the place, she's so patient with me. And wives, can you imagine your husband saying, he's so kind. He's a good man. He's a good man. I just love that man. He's so faithful to me. I can put him around 1,000 beauty queens and I just know he's going to be faithful. Wouldn't it be nice if you're married? Was filled with gentleness, when your life was filled with self-control. Think about what your job would look like, what your workplace would look like. And God says, not only am I offering you a get out of hell free card, not only am I offering you eternal life, but I'm offering you love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And he's not only that, but not only am I offering you that, but I'm offering you freedom from the control of lust. And not to say that you won't fall into lust, but it's often you, because when you're without Jesus, you are not under the power of the Holy Spirit to lift you out and to transform your life from being under the control of it to being under. So it's different when he says, I'm under the control of something, but I can occasionally go and do something good. This is like, no, when Jesus, you accept Jesus' gift, you're under the control of the Holy Spirit. So sometimes the call of the world, you're like, eh, you know. But Jesus said, no, you don't have to obey that because you're under the control of me. And that's the gift that I provide. And you get freedom from control of lust, addiction, destructive habits, anger, envy, jealousy, and selfish ambitions. He's like, you can just stand up and say, sin is not my master. Sin ain't my master. Every time sin calls, he's like, you ain't my master. Every time he gets ready to do something wrong, sin is my master. When you're on this side, sin is your master. And Jesus is calling you, he's like, and oftentimes we say, you, Jesus, you ain't my master. We don't really say it out loud, but our actions do that, and we're held on to that. But not only that, we get God's gift of Jesus offers us a Yeshua, a Jesus, a Joshua, whose mission is to constantly fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, or whatever that song says. And not only he's fighting for you, he's always, you don't even know how many things God has prevented you from. Because things come your way, you stand up, and it's like, you think that it's all peace and safety when all around you there's a spiritual battle going on. And God is just fighting for your people. Come, he has a whole bunch of angels protecting you from all this stuff. And not only that, every time you mess up, he's advocating for you. He's going to the Father. He's like, hey, God, I know Gary messed up again, but yo, he's my boy. He's my child. And I advocated for him. And remember, everything I died for is him right there. So, and so I can stand up, and God, and that's what God is offering you, not only eternal life, not only a get out of hell free card, not only love, joy, peace, not only freedom from all that, but a God who's constantly fighting for us and surrounding us and pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken in the name of Jesus. Enemy is defeated, and we can shout it out. Shout it out. See, God, we don't serve like a little plaything God. We serve a God who's about serious business, about serious stuff. And can you imagine the peace that comes from knowing that? And that's what God is offering you in the gift of his son, Jesus. You know, I was debating sharing this story, and I wasn't going to. But I feel the need to. It's funny, I looked in the mirror. My wife doesn't like me sharing the story. But I warned her that it may come. You know, Jesus, God is up there, and you know, Jesus made this huge sacrifice for us. And God's like, I thought about you. I thought about you, and 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 I thought about you when I subjected myself to come as a baby and to live a human life and to die on a cross. You know, about 10 years ago, actually it was about 8 years ago, my wife doesn't like electronics, and I love electronics, but my wife loves to take pictures on her phone, and she had an iPhone 3GS. And she's always told me, don't buy me any electronics for Christmas. That's not what I want. So I thought, she takes pictures. Let me buy her an iPhone 4S. She had an iPhone 3GS. She full 8 gigs of memory. I was going to buy her one with 32 gigs of memory. Take all the pictures she wanted. And I thought about it. I'm like, this is what she needs. Regardless of whether she wanted it or not. And I remember that Christmas morning. She opened it. It was actually Christmas Eve. She opened it, and she's like, why do you get me this? This is not what I want. You know I don't like electronics. And I'm like, but it's better for you. She goes, but I don't want to set up another phone. I'm like, don't worry. We got Jonathan. He'll set it up for you, and all your contacts and everything will come over. And she's like, but I don't want it. She goes, you have it. And she was saying it from a genuine place where she was saying, Gary, you appreciate this thing. And I said, I, in my mind, I know that's not what you want, but this is what you need to be able to take the pictures that you want. And it even got a 4-megapixel camera instead of that 2-megapixel one that you're dealing with. And that Christmas was the worst Christmas ever because I felt like as a giver of something that I thought and felt was a good gift was rejected. The end of the story is that she took the phone and, you know, we live happily ever after, right? It's in case you ever guys want to know that. But right then and there, it was like a knife was pierced through my heart. She doesn't like me talking about it because she believes that I'm still still holding it up. I've let it go. Like Elsa or whatever that Frozen thing is. I let it go, let it go. Whatever. Princess Mona, or I don't know what she's Disney cartoons, whatever. And Jesus, God said, I so love the world that I thought about you. God so loved you and you and you that I said, hey, I'm going to send my son as a baby. And I imagine Jesus like, as a baby? God's like, yes, that's what's needed. That's the gift that they need. That's the gift that they need. And Jesus is like, okay, so what's the plan? He's like, okay, you're going to come and you're going to live a life and you're going to be tempted. And you're going to be subjected to the body of man and the pains of man. And Jesus is like, really? And God's like, yeah. And, you know, God and Jesus are all the same. So they're like talking to themselves. And he's like, okay, what's going to happen next? He's like, well, you're going to die. Because that's what you need. And 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 that's what I need. And God died. When he died, he took sin and he killed it for those people who accept that gift. And when Jesus thinks about you, he thinks about, I got good things for you. This morning, God's gift of Jesus may not be what you think you want, but it's just what you've always needed. I'm going to go to prayer. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up behind me. And we're going to, you know, some communion emblems were handed out at the beginning. And as we go to prayer, this Christmas, I want it to be a very special Christmas. I want it to be a Christmas where you accept the gift that is always better. Because life with Jesus is always better than life without Jesus. And as we pray, I'm going to say a prayer. And if this is your prayer, I want you to pray this prayer along with me right there in your seats. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I've been pushing this gift of you away for a long time. And today, this Christmas, 2017, I want to accept the gift. Forgive me and make me your child so that we can have communion together in a relationship, in a family. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, that that prayer will be theirs. And if there's anybody here who have accepted but walked away and gotten this great gift but left it in the box, in the closet, that they'll go back to consider the one who gives the best gift of all, a full and satisfying life, and a fully satisfying life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have said that prayer, you're part of the family, and you're part of the family of people who have accepted the gift. And so, you should have a communion cup along that you were given out before. And I just want to say that we want to welcome you to the family. And for the people who are part of the family, Jesus, when he was before he died, he said, hey guys, I'm leaving. But not only am I leaving, but I'm going to suffer some really bad things. But I never want you to forget what I suffered to give you this gift. The gift of all the stuff that we just mentioned. And he says that, as he was saying that, he said, well, here's what he said. On the night when he was betrayed, the same night when he was having that last supper, the last conversation, he said, he took some bread. We have this as a symbolism of the bread that he had. And when he had given thanks, he said, Father, thank you for this bread. He broke it and said, and I just want us, all of us who are accepted the gift, to eat. And he said this. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He said, I never ever forget what it costs to provide this gift. I just never want you to forget. And we get to partake of it. But not only that, he took wine. And he said this. This is a new agreement. It's a new contract I'm making with you. It's a new covenant sealed in my blood that I'm going to shed. That whenever you drink this, you remember what it took to provide that gift. He says, whenever you eat this bread and drink this wine, you proclaim the Lord's death. He's like, I remember, and I share in it. Let's just all drink together. Until he comes. If this is you, it's just a wonderful, wonderful, it's just simple wafer and grape juice. But behind it is so much power of what this Christmas season is all about. And if you are just freshly into this family, into this relationship, I promise you, life will be better.
Amen.
Than it was before. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray for each and every person here. I pray that they will have the best Christmas ever. Lord, that they will have, when it comes, Lord, a prosperous new year. Lord, that you will fill in them a sense of awe, and a sense of desire, and a sense of knowing that you made it all possible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen and amen.